Welcome. This is The Scoreboard. 844 Studio 4. It gets you right here into the studio. Happy Thursday, everyone. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. You know, I was taking a look at the standings in the NHL, the NBA. We're getting close to the end of the regular season in both of those leagues, which means playoffs are right around the corner. I've been telling you over the past few days, you know, high school sports, well, they're kind of on a pause right now. It's spring break. You know, let the kids get out and go experience spring break. Don't play any sports games during that. Now, there are some games being played, but nothing in this general area. So we'll continue talking more about the high school sports scene a little bit later on, probably next week when everything resumes. I mean, that would make sense, right? I agree. 844 Studio 4, that's the phone number if you have something you'd like to talk about. Maybe you're watching the video stream, and you can get that video stream on the brand new, freshly polished WSIC News app. Yes, there is now a WSIC News app that you can get on iOS or the Google Play Store, depending on what kind of device you have. So go ahead and download that app for all the happenings around WSIC, the area, the Iredell County area. A lot of good stuff on that app. And you can watch, you can listen anywhere you want. That's why the W in WSIC means worldwide. Are we understood? Yes, we are. Anyway, we're going to get into it here today. Look, last night was interesting. I was glued to hockey. The NHL is coming to the end of the regular season. The top of the NHL standings are extremely compact, as I've been telling you over the past week or so. Anybody has the opportunity to be the best team in the NHL this year. You have six teams within 6 points of each other, seven within 7 points. That's what we call parity right there. And last night, the New York Rangers were taking on the New Jersey Devils, a very important game in the Metropolitan Division as the Carolina Hurricanes still need to chase them down. Now 5 points behind the Rangers as the Rangers were able to win against the Devils last night. But that wasn't really the storyline. And I wanted to start out with this because, man, was it some game. There is history between the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. The Devils eliminated the Rangers last year in the playoffs, kind of like how there's history, and we see that history play out between the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. But there was an incident earlier this year where a New York Ranger player hit one of the Devils players up in the head, gave him a concussion, and as it seems to go in hockey nowadays, you're going to have to pay for that the next time we see you. Not right now, because we didn't see how bad it was. But the next time we see you, you're going to have to pay for that. And Matt Rempe, well, he had to pay for it. Now, as you probably know, in hockey, a different sport sometimes breaks out on the ice. And I'm talking about the sport of boxing. Puck drop was at 7 o'clock for the New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils game. And at 7:01, there was a yard sale on the ice, as we like to say. Sticks everywhere, gloves everywhere. All five players on both teams dropped the gloves and started fighting. It was amazing. And if you haven't seen the video clip of this yet, go watch it, because as the referee is skating up to the center ice, a circle, to drop the puck, you can see Rempe in the background, and he's just standing there nonchalantly, like he's not ready to play a game of hockey, like he knows what's about to happen. It looked like 70s hockey. The only thing that we were missing last night were the benches clearing. Now, that's never going to happen again, because if you clear the benches, you get ejected. Now, there were a lot of ejections in that game last night, but the bigger storyline for the Carolina Hurricanes regarding that game is the New York Rangers once again come back in the third period to steal 2 points away from an opponent, and they extend their lead in the Metropolitan Division. Now, Carolina didn't play last night. The Hurricanes have a game tonight. They will be playing the Boston Bruins right here at home, about 2.5 hours away, though, over in Raleigh. And the New York Rangers do not play. So a big chance for Carolina to shrink that gap, get what they lost yesterday. The Rangers, 76 games played. The Hurricanes, 75 games played. So this is that makeup game. They'll be even in games after this. Now, if the Hurricanes are able to take this one against the Bruins tonight, and look, it's not going to be an easy task. The Boston Bruins are the third best team in the NHL with 103 points. You have six NHL teams with 100 points, including the Carolina Hurricanes, who have 101 points. But this isn't going to be a cakewalk for the Carolina Hurricanes, as the Bruins are, like I said, one of the best teams in the NHL. Now, I know yesterday we talked a lot about regulation wins versus overall wins versus regulation and overtime wins. Throw it all out. Yeah, I know. I know. I told you that it was a thing. I told you you were going to have to pay attention to the overtime and all that stuff. Well, we got a game to play now. It doesn't matter about that. This is one game. This isn't a series. You could steal a game. It's very hard to steal a series. You can, but it's hard. So tonight, 7 o'clock, the Carolina Hurricanes at home will be taking on the Boston Bruins. I fully expect Carolina to come out with a win in this one. And not only that, I expect them to win, they need to win. If they want any chance at the Metropolitan, now they're locked into the playoffs, which is great, you know, awesome. We're going to the playoffs again. But if they want any chance at the top seed in the Metro, home ice is big. They're going to need to win, and they're going to need to do it soon. So that was a great story from last night with the Rangers and the Devils game. I haven't seen a game like that since, I don't even know, I think it was a couple of years ago when the Capitals and the Rangers had a whole bunch of fights in the first period of the game, people getting ejected left and right. But we haven't seen all five players on the ice fight. Like I said, we were only missing one thing, and that was the benches clearing. I would have even taken the goalies getting into it. Man, imagine a goalie fight in today's day and age. Whew, that would have been fun. That's for sure. We've seen goalies try, but now the rule is if you cross center ice as a goaltender, it's an automatic penalty, could get ejected. Let them go at it. It's hockey. It's good for the game. PK Subban with TNT, he said that. It's good for the game, and I think it is. I agree. It's the one wrinkle that the NHL has that other sports absolutely do not have. You know, a fight breaks out in basketball, and everybody breaks it up, and people get suspended. A fight breaks out in hockey. All right, go sit down for 5 minutes, and then you can go play some more. We're going to put you in timeout. Coming up on that first break of the day, don't go anywhere. Lots to talk about when we return. You're listening to The Scoreboard. Back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7, WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9, 100.7, WSIC.
And welcome back. Segment number two here on The Scoreboard. 844 Studio 4. That's 844-788-3464. Coming up tomorrow, the NCAA Women's Tournament resumes with Final Four games. Yes, we have Final Four matchups in the Women's Basketball Tournament. Iowa is everyone's darling this year, I'd say. Everybody thinks that Iowa is going to win. Well, they have a tough road ahead of them taking on UConn at number three. They have a superstar of their own over there. Paige Buchers, a really good player over there at UConn. And then the other game tomorrow, NC State and South Carolina. I talked about it on Monday. For the first time ever, two schools have both the men and women's teams in the Final Four. Yes, that is the first time it's ever happened. NC State, UConn, men and women's team both have made the Final Four. That doesn't really say much other than they have a very good program over there, both of those teams. So how about it? Round of applause to those two. I've been seeing a lot about Caitlin Clark and does a title make her the greatest women's basketball player of all time. I thought we were already past that. Honestly, I thought we already were declaring the greatest of all time. But maybe I'm just out of touch in that one. By the way, Merlefest Madness is still going on. We have a few people that are still in it. A lot of chances out there. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 people who have made brackets still have their champion in the Final Four. Three of them UConn, one of them Purdue. And right now the leader of Merlefest Madness Bracket Challenge is Joe Nelson, who has the most possible points remaining and picked UConn to win the national championship. That's good bet right there. UConn, will they be the first team to go back-to-back? See, I find that hard to believe sometimes. Because college basketball, it's, I just lost my train of thought there. Sorry about that. What was I saying? Something about Merlefest Madness, I know that. Something came across my screen there, and I lost my train of thought. Merlefest Madness tournament going on right now. Joe Nelson's leading that. Bill the Buffer, down there in Studio C with Good Morning LKN, producer for Studio C. He is in second right now, but his champion's gone. Ryan Turner's tied with him. So right now, Joe Nelson and Ryan Turner, you would be the winners of Merlefest Madness. Now, the grand prize is 4 tickets to Merlefest later on in April. Second place does get a prize because you did good and you got a lot more points than I did. You're going to get sent with some WSIC swag, maybe a shirt, a hat, something like that. I did not do good. I am slightly embarrassed with my bracket this year. I am in next to last. And just so you know, my bracket ranks 20 millionth. 20,744,539 people did better than me this year. That's embarrassing. It is. It's not good when you get beat by everybody. Hopefully you're still alive. Maybe you have your own bracket challenge that you're doing with your friends and your family. I'd like to know about it. 844-STUDIO-4. So tomorrow we have the women's tournament resuming. By the way, the numbers, we talked a little bit about the numbers for the women's game. 12.5 million people tuned in to the Iowa-LSU rematch. And I told you you would have to go all the way back to the year 2015 to find a Daytona 500 that had more viewers than that. It's a long time. Well, the most people that tuned in to the NBA Finals last year, the NBA, professional basketball, where everybody is up in arms about, oh, it's just women's college basketball. Let me know when the men's pros are on. Well, less people watched that last year, just in case you are curious. Only 11.5 million people watched the NBA Finals, whereas 12.5 million watched the rematch of last year's championship game. That tells you all you need to know. And the momentum that women's basketball has right now, it is not insignificant. They're making waves there. Now, I don't know if we're going to see crazy transfer portal moves and big NIL deals. Now, there's exceptions to every rule, Caitlin Clark definitely being one of those exceptions. But if the NCAA and the schools and the players can find a way to continue to market that game, that might be the sport that has the most potential to grow right now. Out of every, and I'm including the professional leagues in this. Women's college basketball has probably the most room to grow because of the momentum that they have and the storylines and the high quality level of basketball that's being played. Now, I like to read comments on social media posts when, let's say, ESPN posts something about the women's basketball, and all the comments are always so ridiculous. Why, this isn't a sport. You know, we don't care unless they're dunking. Last time I checked, everybody was mad that the NBA turned into threes and dunks. No jump shots anymore. There's no jump shot two-pointers anymore in the NBA. You touch someone and it's a foul. At least in the women's game, you see variety. You see skill. It takes absolutely zero skill to dribble a basketball down the court and dunk it because you're taller than the other people. None whatsoever. Now, I'm not gonna get into the men's college side because there is a player that it seems like his only skill is being taller than others and having a semi-decent hook shot. But actually, let's go ahead and transition into the men's game real quick because we do have Purdue and NC State coming up on Saturday. We could still preview this a little bit more tomorrow. But have you heard very much about Zach Edey and his draft stock? Because I haven't. I don't think that he's going to be a first-round pick. He's small. For a big guy, he is lanky and small. Now, obviously, you can work out, build some muscle, but he's slow. He's not very athletic. I don't know. I just don't see it. If I were an NBA team, I would have taken Zach Edey off my draft board completely. And he's had a really good tournament. Last game, over 40 points, almost 20 rebounds. That's a good game right there. That's a baller. But I don't know if that game is going to translate to the NBA. The NBA is different. A lot different. Now, college basketball, you can get away with just being taller than everyone. In the NBA? No, you can't get away with that. So we'll look forward to that. By the way, the first game tomorrow in the women's tournament, 7 o'clock, NC State, South Carolina. That is a 3-1. And I feel like with all the other storylines going on in the women's college basketball, we haven't really given as much love as we should to the South Carolina women's team because they haven't lost. They're 36-0. Now, can they complete the run? Something just tells me that NC State is on some kind of a magical run right now where they're going to make headlines again. Now, I'm not going to say anything that's going to influence a jinx of any kind. All I'm saying is it feels different, and I haven't seen anything about it. Yeah, it was the first time the men's team has been here since Jimmy V was the head coach, which, I mean, I would have thought you might have heard something like that, but no, we didn't. So I got a lot of viewing here. We got appointment viewing. You're going to want to tune into this one tomorrow. Let's go away from the basketball world as we come up on. Actually, before we do that, real quick, with the NBA season coming to an end and the play-in tournament beginning April 16th, if the season were to end today, we would have a pretty meaty matchup in the West for that play-in. You're going to have to stay tuned for that one. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA. I got it on my docket here for today. Then we're going to get into NASCAR. Track activities starting tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. Anybody know that? Yeah. So we'll preview that a little bit, and then we will get into some Major League Baseball because, hey, the season's over a week old now. Let you know what's going on. Who looks good? Don't go anywhere. 844-STUDIO-4, that's the phone number. You're listening to The Scoreboard. Back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
NBA. Yes, the NBA. You know, the other basketball, the pro basketball. Well, I mean, college isn't amateur anymore. Yeah, I said it. College is absolutely not amateur basketball anymore. Oh, he said it. 844 Studio 4 gets you into the studio here. Also, if you want to watch the video stream, you can download the WSIC News app available on both iOS and Google Play. A lot of good stuff on that app. You can listen anywhere. You can watch anywhere. And a lot of other good things as well. But if you want to call, that number is 844-STUDIO-4. So I'm looking at the NBA play-in tournament coming up April 16th, so a couple of weeks away yet, but it's slowly approaching. Right now, the 10th team in the West are the Golden State Warriors. Their record is 41-34. That's not a bad record. They're over 500, playing decent. They're on a roll here. They've won five consecutive games. When you then turn and look at the East, you see why people get upset when you expand the playoffs. The 10th place team in the Eastern Conference is the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are 36-30. Yes, I said 36-30. In case you aren't aware, that's a losing record. They have more losses than wins, and they're going to make the play-in tournament. This is why you should not expand the playoffs in a league like the NBA, where this happens quite often. Even before we had the play-in tournament, I think it was like 5 years ago, 5 to 10 years ago, the trend was the East was terrible, and losing teams would make the playoffs. It happened quite often. The Hornets made the playoffs a couple of times in those years. Now, they were right around 500, but it has been. We've seen a losing record in the playoffs. We've seen multiple losing records in the playoffs in the NBA, and we're going to see it again. Personally, I think if you have a losing record, you should not be eligible for the playoffs. Is that too much? Is that extreme? I don't think it is extreme because you're terrible. You're not a good team if you have a losing record. I don't care what the circumstances are. But the NBA is not going to do anything about it. They never do. They're probably going to expand the playoffs yet again. Why not? Because playoffs mean money. You slap playoffs onto anything and people are going to get interested. Maybe not NASCAR. that might be the only exception. But in the West, right now, if the playoffs were to start, the play-in game between the 9 and 10 seed in the West would be the Lakers versus the Warriors. Ooh! Ooh, that's juicy! Ooh, that is juicy. That means one of those teams would not be going to the actual playoffs. I like that. Give me something juicy like that. Put LeBron in there against Steph and say, hey, one of you guys aren't going to go to the playoffs and one of you might. Even if you win the 9-10 game, you still got to win the next game against the 7-8. The loser of the 7-8 has a second chance to make the playoffs. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this NBA play-in tournament. It has been a thing since the 2020 COVID season, and then they decided to adopt it for everything. The 9 and 10 seed play each other. The winner plays the loser of the 7 and 8 team for a chance to go to the playoffs. And the winner between that game goes to the playoffs. The winner of the 7-8 team becomes the 7 seed in the playoffs, and they're locked in. So if you're the 7 seed or the 8 seed and you're in the play-in tournament, don't freak out, because if you win that game, you are in the playoffs. And if you lose that, if you lose that game, you still have a chance. I don't like it. I never did. And I don't know if I ever will. But the Lakers, they won the in-season tournament. And we hear it time and time again. Regular season doesn't matter in the NBA. The Lakers are 44 and 33. That's not a bad record. That's a decent season. But the West is really good this year in the NBA. And well, because of that, they got a play-in game. And they should be great. So the Lakers should be grateful that there's play-ins, because if there wasn't, they would miss the playoffs completely. Anyway, that's the world of the NBA. The play-in tournament begins April 16th and ends on April 19th. The Boston Celtics, by the way, yesterday, they were able to clinch the Eastern Conference, which guarantees them home court advantage throughout the playoffs. They also clinched the league best record over the Minnesota Timberwolves and Denver Nuggets. So not only will they have the home court advantage during the playoffs on the Eastern Conference, if they do make it to the finals, well, then the Boston Celtics will have home court advantage. We'll keep you updated on the NBA. And when we get to the playoffs, we're going to take deeper dives into the NBA, because the playoffs for the NBA are good. It's not like the NBA playoffs are terrible and it's one of the worst things in the world and I want nothing to do with it. No, it's halfway decent. So, you know, we'll at least give them that. But you know what is good? What's very good is Martinsville Raceway. Ooh, Martinsville. I love Martinsville. A little paperclip over there in Virginia. We go to Martinsville this weekend in the NASCAR truck, Xfinity, and Cup season. Let's hear from Kyle Larson on if he finally has figured out Martinsville after he got a win there.
I do not feel like I have it figured out, but I feel like since I've been at Hendrick Motorsports and got to work with Cliff and our engineers, you know, they've really helped me kind of figure out how to get around there a little more normally, and also I think working with my driving style a little bit. So, you know, since I've been at Hendrick, I feel like I'm a top 10 guy there. You know, I'm not definitely not the best, you know, but it was amazing to win a race there. I honestly never thought that I would win a race there. So to have a grandfather clock in my collection is great, and I'm happy with one, but I would love more now. So yeah, that one's probably one of the most special wins, just because that place for so long has been so tough on me.
For people that don't think NASCAR is a team sport, I hope that quote makes you rethink that. because he has a crew chief and he has a team that's able to help him and coach him through those things and become a better driver all around, not only at super speedways where he hasn't had much success, Kyle Larson, but at the paperclip of Martinsville. He finally got a win there. He has never been a dominant driver at that track, but he had a team around him who knew how to handle that, and they got a win there. NASCAR is a team sport. I don't care what anybody says. Your crew chief, one of the most important people out there. One more segment on this Thursday. Don't go anywhere. We're going to wrap up the NASCAR talk, and then we will turn our attention to Major League Baseball. One more segment to go. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, final segment here on the Scoreboard. 844 Studio 4. That's 844-788-3464. We're about an hour and 10 minutes away from puck drop between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. That is what I am going to have my eye on tonight. Big game for those Carolina Hurricanes. Man, they need a win if they're going to keep pace with the Rangers. I'm looking at the schedule of both of these teams, and I'm trying to determine whether or not it's going to happen, if Carolina can overcome this deficit. And it is a few games that they have to overcome, but I do have a little bit of confidence in them. I do. But it all starts with tonight. They cannot win. They cannot lose to the Boston Bruins tonight. If they lose to the Bruins tonight, that's it. They are going to end up second in the Metro. They will have home ice through round one, but depending on who the New York Rangers play, they're probably going to go to the second round. Now, in the NHL standings right now, when you look at who would be playing who, the Rangers would be playing the Washington Capitals. Yes. Now, I don't think that's going to be the hardest game for the Rangers. The Capitals are a team right now. They have a minus 35 goal differential. Huh? Anyway, Carolina would take on the Philadelphia Flyers if the playoffs started today. I would expect the Hurricanes to move through them without a problem. The Flyers are a team that are slightly ahead of schedule. They weren't supposed to be that good this year. Yet here they are, third in the Metro, nowhere near the top of the Metropolitan Division. Remember in December, January, I was talking about how competitive the Metropolitan was from top to bottom. I think it was 1-7 at one point. And this is late in the season. This isn't like, oh, it's the first week of the season. You know, what are you talking about? 1-7, we're all within 10 points of each other, which is relatively good. Like, that is competitive right now. Because if you look at the points, the Rangers have 106. The Hurricanes have 101. And the Flyers, the third place team in the Metropolitan, have 83. Now, actually, I'm looking at this. There's a chance that the Flyers could miss the playoffs. There is. And it's a good chance, actually. Flyers are a team that have been holding on to that final Metropolitan spot for a majority of the year. Well, teams behind you are starting to reel you in. Not many games left to play. Philadelphia, Washington, Detroit, and the New York Islanders are the most likely teams to grab that final spot. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they still have a chance. The Buffalo Sabres, they still have a chance. They aren't out of it, but it's an uphill battle. They're going to have to win out, and they're going to have some luck. That's the way it works. So we'll see what happens tonight with those Hurricanes playing the Bruins. Just wanted to remind you of that as we get towards the end of the scoreboard today. Going back now to NASCAR, and the NASCAR series is at Martinsville this weekend. There is practice for the Cup Series this week. Yep, they do have one 50-minute practice session, so that's cool. I don't know if it's going to matter because, it's not enough practice. So starting tomorrow, we will have trucks and Xfinity cars on the track. 3 o'clock is qualifying for trucks. 5:30 qualifying for Xfinity. And then the Long John Silver's 200. That is the truck series race Friday night at 7:30. Saturday, the Xfinity series is at 7:30. And then Sunday, the Cup Series, the Cookout 400, will air at 3 o'clock. You can catch that race right here on WSIC, coverage starting at 2 p.m. And it's presented by MRN this week, the Motor Racing Network. Let's hear from one more driver before we move on from the NASCAR talk today. We've heard from a few this week. We heard from Hamlin on how important winning the pole is. We heard from Elton Sawyer on the restart from Richmond. Let's hear from Ryan Preece, who's had a really rough year to start things. I mean, ever since he went tumbling down the backstretch at Daytona, he hasn't had a good go of it. Now, I don't think that has anything to do with it. Maybe his equipment. Maybe. But here is Preece on his confidence at Martinsville.
Well, I think the expectations are set really high, right? When we go to short tracks, whether it's Richmond, Bristol, Martinsville, those are all places that I've won at in a modified, as well as ran well in the cup cars at. So it's just, the confidence is a big thing in racing. Many people don't quite understand that, but if you're really confident going into a weekend, typically the speed and all the other things come along with it.
And yeah, that's true. You're driving in a little bit deeper. Maybe have a better run off the corner if you're confident, if you believe that you can handle the car. The car's on edge 24/7, we're going to see confidence be a thing tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Sunday. I'm telling you right now, who can drive into the corners the deepest late in that race? It's going to come down to a late race restart. I just have a feeling. Last year in the playoff race, we had over 100 laps on that final green flag run. I don't expect that to happen again this year. I do expect something that's a lot more competitive. All right, last thing that I wanted to talk about before we get into this day in sports history. The Masters is coming up this weekend. Next weekend. And the news is that Tiger Woods is going to be participating. Everybody is expecting Tiger to be there. I don't think we're going to see another miracle like we did in 2019 where, Tiger got to play and kind of shocked the world. He's still one of the best golfers in the world, and he shocked everybody winning that 2019 Masters. I don't know what the odds are on him. I haven't looked into that quite yet because we still have a little bit of time before we get to the Masters. But there's some stories about his health, and apparently he can't move his left ankle at all, and he's got lower back stiffness, and he's going to have to walk that course. I hope he can make it through the weekend. I do. I hope he can make it through the weekend. I don't want to have to see Tiger drop out of the tournament. That would be bad. Not bad for golf, because I think the golf world is trying to move on from Tiger at this point. But it would be just sad to see. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But as we get to the end of the program here today, let's talk about some things that happened on this day in sports history. Starting with 1974, Hank Aaron ties Babe Ruth's home run record by hitting his 714th home run, facing, as I lose my page there, facing Jack Billingham. And Hank Aaron, a lot of people think of him as the home run leader at 755, but that's not how it looks in the record books. That's all I have to say. Also on this day in sports history, Wayne Gretzky in 1986 set an NHL record with 213 points on the season. They play 82 games. Gretzky had over 200 in a season. That is dominant. That is what you call a dominant season. And you know, he's the best player of all time. Just to put it into comparison here, the number one player in the NHL in points this year, Nikita Kucherov with 130 points. Nowhere close to Gretzky. Nowhere close. And 130 is a lot. We didn't used to get that high about 5-10 years ago. And finally, on this day in sports history, North Carolina fans, cover your ears.
Going to go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
Villanova beats North Carolina at the buzzer to win the NCAA tournament that was on this day in 2016. I told you to cover your ears. Sorry if I offended anyone. But that is probably the greatest moment in NCAA tournament history. A three at the buzzer to win the championship. That's the one right there. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into the scoreboard today. I'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Man, we got a lot to talk about tomorrow. We're going to preview the weekend. NASCAR, Charlotte FC, lots of NASCAR. We have Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. Basketball, the Final Four, the championship games. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. As always, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night, everyone.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.